Hey, you want that to go?
So our first takeout this morning is that knockout that came out of Massachusetts last night. The junior senator from Massachusetts is Republican Scott Brown. Brown is the new bleak for Barack Obama this morning, 1 year after his inauguration. Is the Obama agenda dead here in Washington? Todd Zwillick?
Hey, good morning, Hawk. Good morning, John. Oh, I just used your nickname. I'm sorry.
we're very chummy down here in Washington, guys.
Our shoulders are so familiar here. Barack Obama's agenda is not dead, I don't think, but it has to be severely reset. Of course, first on the table is health care. You saw Speaker Pelosi and Harry Reid, as you said, ashen in the West Wing last night, and they have to be. Meetings upon meetings, strategizing now about how to get health care done. They have a very narrow window of opportunity to get it finished. It looks like they're probably not going to try this gambit that we've been talking about of getting a House-Senate agreement and then getting it agreed to in the Senate before Scott Brown can be seated. They were seriously considering that. There were Democrats issuing statements last night saying, don't do it. It's not good for our democracy. It doesn't have integrity. Now, once Democrats start saying that, they have to find another way to do this. House Democrats may have to swallow a Senate bill that they absolutely hate and then go back later and try to fix it to their liking. That's where the discussions are now. But today, John, let me tell you just briefly, it's about national security in Congress today. Congress is coming to work this morning knowing that the table's reset, but it's not just about health care and the rest of Obama's agenda. Homeland Security Secretary Janet Napolitano comes up on the Hill today for two hearings, along with Dennis Blair, who's Director of National Intelligence there in the Homeland Security Committee.
You know, that was what was going on at the West Wing last night. In the midst of all this Massachusetts business going on, there were briefings taking place on H1N1 in the Situation Room. There was Napolitano and Mullen and General Brown were in the Situation Room talking about national security. So that's all going to play out today.
Right. It's all going to play out. You know, Congress, the White House is used to doing this. It may seem like Congress can't walk or chew gum. Today they're actually going to walk and chew gum at the same time. They're going to have to. Janet Napolitano comes up. There are hearings on Yemen and the al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula threat. Hearings on, of course, the Christmas Day attacks, aviation security, and also, speaking of security, White House security. The Salahis are coming
to the
Hill. They're coming back.
The party crashers.
The party crashers are coming back, but they are expected in the Homeland Security Committee in the House. They're expected to take the fifth, so you may not hear from them. Right, but you may see them.
Lots on tap in Washington. Thank you, Todd.
Sure.
Let's do a money takeout now. Louise Story, finance reporter for our partner, The New York Times, is phoning it in this morning. Hello, Louise. How are you this morning?
Morning, Miles. Good.
All right. Let's talk about Ben Bernanke. Unusual tactic here. He's asked the Government Accountability Office to offer up a full review of the bailout of AIG, that controversial bailout. Why?
That's right. I mean, this is the most criticized aspect of the entire bailout. The Treasury and the Fed made $182 billion available to AIG, that's the giant insurance company, and the Fed is the party that has mostly handled this bailout. It's different from the other bailouts because in the other bailouts, they came after a congressional law, gave Treasury the authority to bail out the banks. But AIG, if you remember last fall, was bailed out in September 08, before the other bailouts, and the Fed took the lead on AIG. And the Fed, by its very nature, is more secretive and has handled this pretty secretly, paying out 100 cents on the dollar in a lot of AIG deals with the banks. That's been very controversial. And so people have criticized Bernanke, and now he's saying, come on in, check this out. He wrote the Government Accountability Office and said, come check out how the Fed has handled AIG. It's a bit unusual.
All right. So what are they going to find out when they get into this investigation? And is Bernanke just concerned about his job?
Well, he's certainly concerned about his job. You know, he has only until January 31st to get confirmed for a new term. His term is running out, and people are saying that as soon as today, Harry Reid in the Senate may move for the vote. So keeping his job is very much on his mind. This is one of his weakest spots, and so his letter yesterday may have been a signal to people that he doesn't have anything to hide on this, that he wants people to come check it out.
Louise Story, finance reporter for The New York Times. Thank you.
And our listeners have a lot to say in this last takeout. Yesterday, we were talking about media coverage of the earthquake in Haiti. A lot of you called in to respond. One listener called 877-8-MY-TAKE to say he was impressed with some of the reporting he's seen.
Hi, this is John from Charleston. I think the most poignant coverage of the media so far of this tragedy has been the medical correspondents of the various news networks who have really been able to insert themselves into the story, provide care, and relay stories of the unbelievable human suffering based solely on injuries and death.
Another listener, Alan Want of Oklahoma, says that it is time for the news media to refocus on other important stories like healthcare and jobs. In an email message to my take at thetakeaway.org, he wrote, "Crushing U.S. under the weight of Haiti's fallen buildings only serves to limit valuable discussions of the human condition in its entirety." Do you agree with Alan? Call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE.
Meanwhile, we're still getting a lot of people who want to talk about the language of the media's coverage in the aftermath of that earthquake in Haiti. And what constitutes looting, for instance? Is that a sensitive issue? Does it push a button? Is it different than simply survival? Benji Pickens of Colorado says it comes down to what people are taking.
If you're taking food, shoes, clothing, that's probably, survival. If you're taking TVs and, you know, other commercial goods like that, then, you know, it's probably looting.
Not everyone agrees, though. Frank from New York had another take.
Unfortunately, I have to say that the biggest difference between looting and survival is whether it's a black man or a white man doing it. Sad commentary, but seems to be true.
One New Yorker who remembers a time when the word looting was used in his city.
Yeah, my name is Nigel. I'm calling from Brooklyn. We got to remember what happened in 1977 when we had a blackout in New York City. In less than 24 hours, the entire city was transformed, okay? So let's not even talk about the people in Haiti.
A completely different story from the blackout in 2003, where peace, calm, and community reigned. We can only hope Haiti feels some semblance of that as soon as possible. Coming up, it's been 8 days since an earthquake devastated Haiti, and just as aid has started pouring into the country, thousands are trying to flee the capital.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing. Or
politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.